Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
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 Dr. Roy?
Yeah, this is Roy Brown.
Oh, hey, Mr. Dr. Roy Brown.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the International Black Summit Man of the Month. How are you gentlemen doing?
Thank you. Who am I speaking to?
This is Glenn Greenwich.
Oh, hi, Glenn. You sound different. I have you on the speakerphone.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Okay, and, Glenn. Good. Thanks for the welcome.
You're welcome. And Oren?
Hey, Dr. Brown. Glenn, how are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Wonderful to hear your voice.
Same here. It's been quite a while.
Quite some time.
I know.
Certainly has.
Yeah.
Well, we're here on the International Black Summit talk show.
Yes.
Men of the month. And what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about what was your experience prior to the first summit. So let's start off with you, Dr. Roy Brown. What were your thoughts? What were you thinking when you had heard about this event called the International Black Summit? Well, actually, it wasn't the International Black Summit at that point in time, but this gathering of people from Landmark who were interested in having a conversation, a commitment to the empowerment of people of African descent. Where were you in that conversation?
Oh, as an African American, of course, I think it was timely that at that time we began thinking of certain roles that we could play. I think today we would probably have categorized us as black people who were probably just aspiring to the middle class. I mean, most of us were hardworking people. Many of us were professionals. Landmark was actually a forum, as it became known, where we all met and were concerned about what we could do to make a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the underlying thing. And I think one of the things that was remarkable was that we had felt that each individual there had certain ambitions and aspirations and were actually felt that they could play a role model or be role models for our community. And somehow we got together and felt that, hey, you know, here we are, what can we do? You know, that was the question. No one, as far as I recall, no one had an answer, but we had a lot of questions.
Sure.
And our concern was, what can we as black people, people of African descent, do to make an impetus of sort on the community. And, you know, it was at that time, there were so many negative things about black people, you know, the highest dropouts, they were into drugs, they were lazy, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And here were we sitting there, and we didn't, the only thing that we had common to that discussion was that we were black. But none of the negative stereotypes, I don't think we could have pointed to any one of us and say that you fit that stereotype. And I think we felt that as we could form a group to begin to demonstrate and be role models, particularly to the youth at that time.
Very good. Very good. And forgive me, but let me back up for a second and let our listeners know who Dr. Roy Brown really is. He's a distinguished doctor from his community. He is now 84, is that correct? 84 years old.
Yeah, I had my 84th birthday in August.
In August.
Yeah.
And who dedicated his life to the empowerment of people of black African descent in many ways that even I don't know of. You were an avid participant at Landmark Education. You were a leader in the conversation of empowerment.
Yes.
You're one of the original members of PADEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group in New York.
Yeah.
And you were weren't you IFL, the Introduction to Forum Leader, as well? You led introductions.
Right.
Back in the early in 1990.
That's right, in the 90s, yeah.
In the 90s, okay.
Right.
So that people have a sense of who you are and what you've done in your life. So, so I get a sense of excitement, of urgency, and certainly of wanting to create something different, a different conversation, a different context. Great.
Glad if I can add just to speak.
Please jump in. I was going to ask you where you were in that conversation, Oren. So go ahead.
Yeah,
perfect.
I will.
Jump in.
As if I can add just to add to the great example that Dr. Brown has been to our community and to all communities. You didn't mention that he is a medical doctor.
Okay.
And also. He, from my knowledge of him and the way I've seen him over the years, when we were, you know, at various times getting together throughout the years to partake of various projects, was not just the black community, it was all communities. You know, he was always a person that stood up for all people and the thing that always I always admired about Dr. Funk is how distinguished he always was. I always saw a very distinguished man.
That's so flattering. Thank you.
And it always gave me as you speak about role models, he was one of my role models. And
Absolutely.
I always at the time that I met Dr. Funk, and since you've mentioned his age, he was already probably in his 60s. And I was like, oh, if I could age as gracefully as this man, I'll be doing well. So I just want to, I'm like Brent told me today that you're 84, Dr. Frog. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember.
It's amazing my patience. You know, I still go to the office. And my patients always say, what is the secret? Why don't you share with us all that stuff that you're taking to make you look so vibrant and alive? And, you know, my thing was always, it's all mostly mental.
Yes.
It's mind.
Yes.
You are what and who you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you begin to set the goal. And out of that, it's something that you have to love yourself and you have to love your community, you know? And that's something that I've always held. And I think that keeps me alive.
Great. That's great.
Well, to answer your question, Glenn, what was the exact question? What was it that you actually asked?
What were you anticipating? What were you thinking about? What that prior to going to the summit? What was your frame of mind? Getting ready to go off to this meeting that you didn't know too much about, but you would receive this this flyer in the center from some people from Chicago that JK, and what was your frame of mind going to the event?
Yeah, well, I can remember distinctly being assistant of Landmark Education Corporation, receiving this invitation, I think, which you were the person that it was sent to Glenn, from the Landmark community, to the Landmark community, inviting people of African descent to a meeting, they did mention, call it a summit. And what got me there was the way the letter was worded. I just can remember there was this invitation that stated, one part of it had mentioned, nothing less than death in your body should stop you from being at this summit. And I was like, whoa, who are these people that's speaking like that?
Yeah.
You know, like that was speaking to this urgency. And it spoke to probably to an urgency. It might have vibrated because it was like, I got to be there. That was my, I read that thing and I was like, I got to be there. I've never been to Atlanta or anything. I didn't do much traveling before that. And I knew that I was going to be there. And it must have spoke to some form of urgency that was inside of me too, that vibrated, because as Dr. Brown had mentioned, that was a period that I think that from my experience, and if my thoughts can go back there, it was a period of, I found it to be a very traumatic period for me as a person of Black African descent, and what I saw was happening in the Black community, and someone coming from the West Indies, coming from Guyana, South America, and being in the environment and seeing, like, to me was a destruction, you know. I can remember during that period I would keep parties for my children, teenagers, and one of the things that I specifically had to do was guard the doors while the parties were being held upstairs and making sure who comes in that they were safe, you know, that they weren't carrying weapons and stuff. But there was that kind of urgency, that kind of fear that I could remember experiencing at that time. And you know, very concerned about my children's lives and what's going to happen with them and things like that. So when I got this letter, it kind of vibrated this some form of urgency, and it gave me, I heard some level of commitment from whoever was sending this letter. I had no idea who these people were. You had, as you mentioned, you had a prior relationship with Ken Young, who was one of the people instrumental in getting this letter and off. But I never knew any of these people. But when I read that thing vibrated inside of my system, and I said, wow, I got to be here, wherever this place is in Atlanta. And so that was some of the things I would say that got me there. In terms of expectations, I had no expectation. I had no clue as to what I'm going to. All I knew that these people say nothing less than death in your body should be there. Can have you not be there. You must be there. Nothing less than death in your body should keep you from being there. And then them speaking that this thing is paramount to the constitution of the founding fathers or something of the sort. I can't remember the exact wording of the letter. But it gave that thing, that it what was left in my mind, it was a lack of urgency, and somebody did was I read through that some form of commitment was there among these people who I never met, had no clue, didn't know anything about them. So that's what got me there.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, what was interesting is in this conversation, when we got together initially and we threw ideas around, we felt that, you know, it was like the time of the civil rights and all of that, and we felt that the focus not only was on African-Americans, but it also, the burden, so to speak, was and had to be carried by black Africans wherever they came from, because it didn't matter whether they were from the Caribbean, from Kenya, an African nation, or South or Central America, as black people, we all shared equal exposure to the type of society in which we were living. We felt that it was not merely that, well, if you work hard and get an education, that was all there was, and you'd be successful. We knew the problem was beyond that, and it also was international. And as we developed the idea among the people that met in Atlanta, which we felt that every single person who came to that initial meeting, that each individual would contribute some idea, anywhere from what we would call the organization, what our goals would be, the different areas that we would include in this international organization. And I think at that meeting we felt that one of the things we established was that if we called it international, we'd have to live up to the name. And that was, we would hold meetings and seminars and convention in different countries in the world. It was international in the truest sense.
Absolutely.
I recall. And that, for me, was, you know, I have been always active in the civil rights movement, both in my community and, you know, did all the sit-ins and knocking on the doors of big business and getting jobs for blacks and breaking down all of that employment barrier. But the International Black Summit gave me an idea, or presented to me the idea, that the problem was not just the problem of black people, was not just a local or American thing. It was international. We had people there from Kenya. We had people from the Caribbean. And as they spoke, you know, we all went through the same experience. And we felt that as a group, we could bridge some of these things and carry the process and how we are going to approach some of the problems, and become, each one became a teacher. Each member vowed that whatever experience I had, whatever knowledge I had, I was going to share that as an individual. It became sort of a cooperative effort, and I think it still is. I mean, that's the main reason for the international summit.
Well, you've raised an interesting point. Both of you talked about the urgency, that there was the sense of urgency to get to the meeting. And then once we were at the event, there was also the cooperation and the camaraderie and the joining of forces.
Right.
I know one of the things for me, because we had People of African Descent Empowerment Group established in New York, we already had a sense of that in New York in terms of working together and to be open to the possibility of a national conversation or international conversation, kind of widen the vision, possibility of what we're up to. So I think that we in New York had a unique viewpoint of the conversation.
Yes.
And saw this as a compelling widening of the lens of the conversation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I recall a Caucasian lady who came to one of our meetings, and she was, I think, from South Africa, and she was incensed that she was not in a way included in the group because she claimed that she was African, and this was all about people of African descent. And it's interesting for me and many of us that it was like an aha moment. Hey, there are white people in Africa also, you know, and maybe we should become the listening to see what she could also bring to the organization. I don't recall if she was admitted as a member. Glenn, do you recall that?
I recall the incident, and I don't think it was at the first one.
No, it wasn't the first one. It was when we were sort of up and rolling.
And running. But you're right. That had us look at the conversation differently.
Yeah.
Because one of the premises of the conversation was that we were looking to impact the black community.
Right.
However that looked.
Right.
Be it Caribbean, be it African, be it Afro-American, or some variation. But
right.
we were looking to take this technology to the community.
Right.
And that was the essence of all of us being there.
Right.
But yet we had all of these different ways of looking at it.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And you know, it's interesting that a lot of the ideas, a lot of the conversation at that meeting when we went to Atlanta and included people, that sort of broadened the whole thing about what was the problem of racism, you know, how each person or each group saw it,
mm-hmm.
and how each person brought to the conversation some of the things that we could do to move the process, actually, And actually, in the long run, you know, some of the things that just skipping around that Obama is talking about, you know, when he said there's no red America, blue America, and all of we're all American. That
yeah.
was basically a lot of that was aired at that meeting, you know. I mean, not everybody was convinced that we were doing the right thing. There were people with other in thing, you know. It's like, I mean, we don't want to be just isolated as black people. We want to be Americans, and also to have all the benefits, what it meant to be an American. And I think a lot of some of those arguments I'm seeing come, it took a long time for it to come into fruition.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, because one of the things that I'm still present to is that even with all of the backdrop of commitment and conversation, we still have to work through our differences.
Yes.
You know, we still have to confront the Caribbean conversation, the
right.
African conversation, the
right.
Afro-American conversation, and
right.
that they were different but yet the same.
Yes.
And we had to struggle with the intertwinedness of those conversations,
yeah.
given our background commitment to the whole conversation.
Right.
Oren, you haven't said anything in a while. Where were you?
Yeah, in particularly with the incident of the South African woman coming to the summit, I can remember she was coming from the premise that because she was born in Africa, she's of African descent. And she had the right to be there. And I can remember in clearing her, one of the conversations was that she was asked that she live her life as a person of black African descent, as a person of African descent in the sense of a black person. And I think she clearly had to admit that was not who she was. So I think that's how that got dissolved, because the whole premise of the I think from the historic reference of all the international black, the first series, the first intention of this commitment to people of African descent, it was like speaking to what was prevalent and what were the things that we saw that could make a difference in the black community.
Yes.
And that's what the whole thing of the summit came out of. And, you know, we always refer to black people as African people. And as you know, as the world has changed, we know now that probably the term African has broadened more so than the context that we looked at it. But it was specifically to speak to the concerns of the African community. I don't know if it started out as worldwide, but when we all reached there, we realized that this was an international organization, because as Dr. Brown mentioned, there were people from Kenya, not South Africa at the time, but definitely from Kenya, from Canada.
Yes.
Some of us were from Jamaica. We were from Guyana, from Trinidad.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a wide variety of people, you know, and who had roots all over the world. You
right.
know, and roots into other black cultures, whether it was Latin American or South African or whatever, African, continental, you know. So that's what I could remember in terms of that specific incident. And it did bring us to look at what was considered black. One of the premise of the summit that we, that was, because there were other people that came that looked even, we thought they were white people that came after that summit. And we thought they were white people. They came from Seattle.
Yeah.
Washington,
right.
From Washington State. And they came into the summit, and you know, they clearly stated that they were of Black African descent.
Yeah.
And they saw themselves in relation to the that's how they related to themselves as Black African people. They looked even whiter than that woman from South Africa.
Yeah.
And they were in the summit. So it was never an issue around color or race so much, I would think, as to how people saw themselves in the relationship to you know, how they identify themselves. Because, you know, as the summit continued over the years, we bumped up against many other aspects of race inside of the summit, and what we conceive in America as Black. In some other countries, like when we went to Brazil, was a whole nother gender, a whole nother way of them looking at themselves as Black, and they were in the summit.
Right.
You know, and even now I think the whole thing around the summit and as someone of you mentioned, where that conversation about race comes up, I think it's still an area that we keep delving into, and people get to choose for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's basically an area of choice.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, in thinking back, I think for me, and I think some of the other members of the group, we came with a very narrow idea of what it meant to be Black.
Mm-hmm.
We came with that. In time, what it opened up for me was also the idea of different cultures from different people of African descent, depending on the region that they were brought up.
Right,
so
right.
That was one thing initially we did not consider or even ask, what are there different cultures, are there any cultural difference outside of the skin color? And it was a question with various answers to it. And like when you ask the question, how, you can get a variety of different answers. And that was one of the things about the summit, that it allowed every member to express themselves as to how they saw being Black was, the individual. And there are a lot of things that I was impressed by, how people looked at that, and also the kind of culture. And I think out of that also we decided, hey man, this thing's got to be international, and we need to start thinking of it on a global, from a global point of view. And I think one of the things of International Summit is that it allowed us to take these meetings to different countries all over. I think I understand that we're going to have a meeting in London this year, this summer?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so
correct, yes.
All of that started at that, out of that conversation.
Out of that first summit.
Right, that we said, you can't, it's not just a local thing, man. We've got to include all these other people who are, you know, sharing the same experience.
Sharing
of,
the same conversation, absolutely.
Yeah, of the underprivileged, underclass, whatever the phrases that came up, that's where most of us found ourselves, that black people were not considered a privileged class. And that was what was lacking. And I recall one of the conversation that we had was, you know, well, someone says, oh, well, you know, if you get a good education and you work hard, you can break all through, you know, and so on. And then people said, no, you know, I have a PhD and I have all the qualifications, but my life is no rosier than yours, you know? So those were some of the things I recall that came out of that meeting, which was, for me, a great education.
Absolutely.
You know?
This is the International Black Summit. This is the Man of the Month talk show, and we're featuring Dr. Roy Brown and Orrin Saunders. As we talk about the first summit, some of the things that are bumping up for me, we talk about the urgency, we talk about the races, we talked about the commingling of cultures that were occurring. The other thing was the whole, we had people from PhDs down to people who are in jail.
Right.
All engaged in this conversation. So we had all walks of life. We had all cultures. We had all countries.
All shades of colors.
shades of color. And this conversation really was a melting pot. You know, we were stirring it up together. And I don't know that. Well, let me speak for myself. So the thing that I didn't know and was what the outcome was going to be. But what I was standing for was that intentionality of making the difference for the community.
Right.
And as I look back to that day, that occurrence, that event, I got more out of it than I could have imagined.
Yes.
In terms of relationships, you know, in terms of camaraderie, empathy to understand what other people are going through,
mm-hmm.
To see what I was going through in other people,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of those things
got
churned up. You know, this whole conversation of what it is to be black.
Right.
You know, was you know, sort of in my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having me confront, well, who am I as
right.
a black man?
Right.
You know, and how do I relate to that?
Right.
Well, one of the things that, one of the most significant things that came out of that first summit was after, as you said earlier, this urgency that was there for people, and that was very exemplified throughout the weekend. It was a deep urgency with everyone there. I mean, we're very quiet from very quiet, from extremely emotional periods. Deep emotional, you know, hurt from people. They were upset, and people were speaking to things that happened to the community when they saw friends, you know, young people saw their friends and family shot down and killed and things like that.
Yeah.
And it was quite an intense weekend. And I can remember us being placed in the various groups. You got people, they were all concerned for people around health, the economic empowerment of our people and our communities. There's concern about relationships between black men and women and
right.
parents with their children. I can remember there were concerns about health care and the elderly.
you know, concerns about our food, how we eat and things, and the nutrition that we put in our bodies.
Yes.
And I can remember where we got to in that first weekend was where we all choose a group that we want to participate in, and those are like groups in, around community, groups around economic empowerment, groups around spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
There's groups around social welfare, social, you know, social people who have a deep concern for the social welfare of our people. I can't recall all of them, but there were several aspects. Oh, and deep concern for the youth. You know, especially since there were some youth represented there who were very, very vocal in the urgency that they felt.
Yeah.
That was not, the urgency of not being paid by the adults, by the black community at large, to the plight of the youth. I can remember it was like a call out by one particular young man that, you know, y'all got to live, y'all don't hear us, y'all don't see we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not, well, what are you doing? You're not doing anything, you know.
Yeah.
So it was so intense and so emotional. And I think also that intensity and that energy and that emotion and that urgency, what came out of that was the declaration.
Oh, yeah.
That of the International Black Summit that weekend.
Right.
Although it wasn't flushed out as the document that we know today, but through the speaking of each individual in that room,
right.
As I can remember, was something like 120, 121 of us or something in that vicinity.
Yes.
Through the speaking of each and every one of us, that document that we call now the Declaration of the International Black Summit, each and every one of our voices can be heard today. Inside of that document. And I think that was like one of the most powerful pieces of document that came out of that weekend, but one of the most powerful pieces of document ever written in the planet.
I agree. I agree.
30 people of African descent on the world.
Yeah, and now, you know, a lot of it is coming back to me. How we sculpt the meeting with each one asked to commit themselves to contributing to the declaration. In other words, it should come from your heart what you want to declare, what this document should contribute. And every single person, I think if you look at that declaration and analyze it, you will find a part of that. The 120 people, each individual had a part in that, in the wording of that declaration.
Yep.
I mean, it was just fantastic how it just came out. I mean, everybody was, almost they were, became writers and literary.
Well, you know what? I'm going to actually take a moment to read the declaration because you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Everyone that was there contributed a word, a line, or something to that declaration. Let me read it right now.
Yeah.
The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction.
Mm-hmm.
We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services,
establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991.
Yep, amen. Oh, wow, you know, just reading it brings back that day.
Yes.
It was a great meeting. I mean, I had been to many, many meetings, but I had never seen people, most of us in a way neophytes, come up with that, the expression of solidarity. That was what it was.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm actually going to shift the conversation a little bit because I want to talk about what has that event, this declaration, how has that impacted your life?
Glenn?
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know that you have another caller on. 312-266. I don't know if they have a comment or a question to share, and we have about 13 minutes remaining in the show.
Yes, would you let them in, and we'd love to hear from them.
Sure.
Caller 312-266, you're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment for Glenn or the panel? Okay, great. You're just listening in.
Okay, they're listening. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you, Clara. That's Clara on us managing the switchboard, part of the International Black Summit talk show team. We are have a couple of events, and we'll talk about that a little later just before we wrap up. But, gentlemen, so what is it, how has this day and event impacted your lives? Start with you, Mr. Oren.
Well, the summit itself has, I can safely say that I live my life through the summit. The distinctions of the summit as it has evolved over the years has been one of my main guiding forces in life. It has enabled me in make a difference among my family, among my most immediate family, my children. Because my children were also, I brought my children to the summit when they were teenagers, and they were very instrumental in creating the International Black Youth Summit. My two children, Jermaine and Fulami, and the Redmond girls, and Glenn's daughter, what's his name? Anthony's son, Dawson.
Awesome, yeah.
And Fantasia children were
Amafika,
were some of the first facilitators of the International Black Summit, Youth International Black Youth Summit. And to have my children grow up inside of the summit has made a huge difference in my relationship with them and their relationship with the world. And so, you know, I've been very blessed to see, you know, their achievements and the way they navigate themselves inside of the world through that. So my life has been impacted immensely in that specific arena, in the arena of how I manage my business, running a shop again with a natural hair salon with a lot of young people, you know, teaching them to, and empowering them actually in becoming businessmen of their own, and to see them leave the salon and open up their own businesses, and Locks and Chops, which is the name of my company, having many alumni throughout the country and some other parts of the world that have their own business has been a major force of empowerment, economic empowerment in the black community internationally. So that has been I've never had any kind of management skills, like, you know, go to school or anything for management, but I manage my company through the distinctions of the summit as much as I can. But basically, that's where most of my, that's where I would say 100% of my management comes from. That's from being, from the training I've gotten as a facilitator of the International Black Summit. And just the things in the community, you know, here in this country and in Guyana and different parts of the world, in Africa and things like that, you know, I've created a worldwide, a global community and family that, you know, have relationship with people all over the world. That we do, you know, we have deep relationships, you know. You know, some of them call me dad, some of them call me brother. You know, just to being the most, I've just been blessed from having been taken up that invitation that one day, then that invitation came to the Landmark, and to take that chance, not knowing what was in store, not knowing where I was going to stay. As a matter of fact, it's not until we got to the summit that day in Atlanta that Alubide and I traveled there together, and Alubide was supposed to be on this call, but she's in Trinidad. And he and I traveled together, and it was Dr. Brown who rescued us. We had no place to stay. And he told us we can stay in his room, but that's the first time we met him. He didn't know us.
Yeah.
He didn't know us from Adam. First time he saw us. And he had us stay in his room for the whole weekend. Now we have
Aaron,
no. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a place to stay. you actually had a place to stay, because the summit was actually just a manifestation of what was already there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Dr. Brown was already there holding the space for you to stay.
Exactly.
You already had a place to stay.
Exactly.
Is this Martin?
Yeah,
we all came, you know. We all, you know, we didn't just get it in the summit. What it allowed us, all the people there, was to express who we are. That's what it was. I don't think we became that. I think we were the summit who took the opportunity to hold this gathering of people with all the best intentions. Everyone in there was spiritual. Everyone loved people. Everyone felt that they could not do it alone by themselves, that we had to form a community. I know that was me, because remember, Glenn, I am 84 years old.
Yeah.
I graduated from medical school in the 50s, and
yes,
it was among those who, the only one, whatever, or the first one. Now, my life was always me doing it, you know, and weathering the storm. And then all of a sudden, there are these people who came out of, you know, out of the wall, declaring that, you know, we were also the first and the only, but we can make a better world if we do it all together. And that's what I got out of the summit. You know, that you can work together, you can share whatever you have, and also good people will always attract themselves once they know that there's an opening for that.
You know, you're absolutely right, because one of the things that we were all first in our various areas, fields, communities. You know, we're all leaders, and yet when we came together with that one intention, there was a force, an energy that was bigger than the sum of the individual parts.
Exactly. You were able to give up that, you know, I alone am facing the world, and threw it into this big conglomerate of people who share the same ideas, and you found that now you expanded through these people.
Yeah, the conversation of the summit was always a conversation of community.
Yes.
And each one actually represented the whole community in its totality.
Right.
And what we did was we brought our totality with us and shared it. And when it shared, everything showed up.
Right.
As it showed up. Us being powerful, us being owning everything there is to own, and us actually impacting the world in ways that we don't even acknowledge and recognize.
Right.
And we probably will never.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm reading a book about what's going on, what Larry Pearson has been doing in South Africa with some of the companies down there, and the impact that he's having on, or he's had, you can say directly came out of the summit, because the summit impacted everyone that was around us.
Yeah.
That caused that conversation even to exist.
Yeah.
And who's that talking?
This is Martin.
I thought it was Martin. Hi, Martin Grant. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Martin.
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Roy and RN? And
I'm doing fine. Good to hear you, man.
Good to hear you. I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. Well, you know, it's so great because you also were at that first summit. So those are some of the things that it impacted you as well?
Yeah, actually, the invitation got written up in my house. The first invitation to the summit got generated.
Can you give us what you remember? Because we had bits and pieces of it we talked about. Maybe your memory is a little bit better than ours around it. Can you script it for us?
In regards to how it got generated?
Yeah.
Or in regards to what? Aloma and Pat Reporter were in Houston or somewhere in the southern part of the U.S. and made a call to, what's her name, Brenda. I don't remember her last name right now. And they thought they hung up.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they hung up. But what happened was the phone recorder recorded the conversation that they had. And what the conversation was, what would be possible in taking on this level of training and develop inside of transforming our community. Brenda came home, heard the conversation, and she called me up and came over to my house. We listened to it, and we said we're on board, and she became the first coordinator of the summit. And that evening we sat down and we wrote up an invitation to
the summit. Sure. Yeah.
That evening we actually had a conversation of, we started the conversation of what it is to be black in the world.
Okay.
Because it started off with African Americans, and I told her, well, you just excluded me. And we started the conversation of you know, that it needed to be bigger than just, it just couldn't be black, because the conversation around the time had was that black Americans were African Americans.
Yeah.
Right,
so it couldn't
right.
be just that. It had to include, it'd be more inclusive, but it had to include the whole world.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Great. Now, I know we're, Claro, how much time do we have left? Are we pretty close to that?
I joined the call late.
Oh, I gave you an at, Glenn, so whenever you'd like to complete is fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Well, listen, let's go back around and Any closing comments, anything that you would want to say to the listeners that are listening in? This is the International Black Summit, Man of the Month, and we've got some distinguished guests today. We've got Dr. Roy Brown. We've got Orrin Saunders, and we have Martin Grant. And so I just want to, kind of hear any kind of closing comments that you guys would like to make. Dr. Roy Brown?
Well, I'm glad to see that the International Summit is still alive. I have retired now for maybe about 5 years, and enjoying, visiting my children. One of the things I'm very proud of. Oh, I have 5 children. I'm proud of all of them, but more than that is my son, who is now the lieutenant governor at Maryland, which, he listened to his father. And one of the things that, as a result of the summit, was how do you coach your own children and how to be successful? So that was one of the good things about the summit, listening to other parents and who were at the summit who were able to exchange. How do we motivate our kids in this hostile environment? And so that was one of the things that I got out of the summit, sort of reassurance that it's possible. We know it's difficult bringing up children in these days, and what's going on, what they're exposed to, the technology. We were able to even broach those that subject and share that with people who had children. And that's one of the things that I got out of the summit. I have very good kids, and that was a result of, listening to other parents and bringing that home with me.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Orrin?
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's just wonderful to hear you speak on all these great things happening.
Yeah.
You're such a wonderful example for our not so young people like myself, but definitely following in your footsteps. I'm just also happy to hear you on the call tonight, Martin.
Absolutely.
And it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you're on. You took the time to be on. That's really great. And even also just to give us that little synopsis of some of the little things that you never would know unless you hear from the people who were initially involved. And that you've always been one of the people that initially helped us create this conversation and this great event, an organization called International Black Summit. I just would like to invite everyone to be in the summit in London. Those who have, those who are on the call and those who are hear this call. For me, the summit has been one of the most beautiful things that has happened to me in my life, and I'm still exploring what's available inside of this work that we do called International Black Summit. I'm just very, very proud and feel extremely fortunate to have had this conversation and work and the people that have come to this conversation, and the people who have helped to create this conversation in my life.
Thank you. Thank you. Martin Grant, for you?
You know, the summit brought together different voices. It brought together the oral Dr. Brown, Dr. Roy Brown, representing the ancestry that we are. It brought together the young RN and the young folks that came together. And it brought together the opportunity for us to fully express everything that we are and everything that owns us and we own. And as I listened and acknowledge Dr. Brown and RN and yourself and everybody who's been involved in the summit for the years and the expansion and the impact that it's had, I also want to throw out a challenge to the summit, and the challenge is that the world is crying and wanting and being hungry for the conversation that the summit is. And I invite the summit to take on an expansion outside of what it thinks an expansion is, like, you know, possibly having a simulcast from London and the U.S. so that the summit actually occurs in more than one place and have that conversation be present in more than one place and take on what will be possible for the community being whole and complete inside of what got created or what actually got presence in the summit in 1991. And what keeps getting presence every year and, you know, ongoingly. So I acknowledge everything that's happened, and I'm throwing out the challenge.
Well, my brother, Martin Grant, you are consistent, because one of the things that I still remember when you stood up, I believe it was in Oakland, and talked about broadcasting all over the world. I want to let you know that we're looking at the technology of Skype and some of the other things, streaming. I had you not brought it up, I was going to bring it up anyway, but I'm glad that you did bring it up, just to speak to that commitment to have this conversation be available all over the world.
The conversation of the summit didn't wait for us. It actually dragged us.
Kicking and screaming.
and sometimes just being quiet.
Right.
It created us.
Exactly.
And it gave us everything that there was to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's calling. It keeps calling.
And it still is evolving. After 19 years, the conversation is still an organic, generated conversation that is flushing out things and having things be created. So, you know, the fact that all of you are on this call tonight is an acknowledgement of the collective body of work that each of you have contributed, and that we as a whole, as a collective, are contributing as well.
What I hear is, in year 20, in the acknowledgement of year 20, that the summit be in 20 countries simultaneously.
Mm.
That's the challenge I throw out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Good. Got it.
The technology is already there.
I must ask you this, Mark. You know, are you going to be a part of that? Or are you going to stand out there and just send it out to us? Are you going to be part inside of that challenge?
Quite possibly.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it, brother.
I'm open to conversations.
No, let's do it. Let's do it. You sent it out there. Let's get it generated.
You've been holding the gauntlet.
That's it.
Always have.
That's it.
Well, listen, I'm gonna wrap up the show, but thank you all three of you, You, as I said, you all contribute immensely. You bring your unique gift to the world, to this conversation, and I thank you, and your the people and your families thank you. I'm thanking them through you. And I must say that the relationships that, that I've formed with you all are all out of the conversation that the summit is and the commitment that we all are to transforming our community. So thank you for being on the call tonight. I appreciate you all. I love you all. I am one with you, and as you're one with me, and you know, and there's still work to be done, and the opportunities for us to keep working towards our vision and our intention. So with that,
before you kindly give us the information for the summit in London?
The summit is going to be in London the first weekend in August, as it normally is. Let me see. Let me throw out the date. I'll get my glasses on. I've
Glenn, can you email us that information?
I sure can.
Yeah.
I absolutely can.
Yeah.
And Glenn, is there some way to get the contact information for the other people on the phone, on the call?
Talk
to you. Email that or send it out. Or?
Yeah, I can email Martin. I don't think I have your email. Did you receive the Man of the Month?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay, so I can send out a mass. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll actually make sure that something goes out to everybody on our mailing list so that we've got that information. And you all have, let me just give you my number. It's
why don't you send that by email rather than putting it over the air?
Okay, all right, I'll do that. So I'll send that out to all of you, okay?
No, but then you still need to announce it because there are other people who...
Are there other people listening in?
Yeah, they may call and then they can go back and listen. Yeah.
Oh. We actually stopped streaming. So this
we
part,
are we are Glenn. We actually we're still on air live.
Oh, we are still okay.
Yeah, we're still live, and the website is www.blacksummit.org. If you'd like to send a specific request, if you could send it through talkshow@blacksummit.org. And then we can respond back to you with, you know, specific information as well. People can register. You want to share that information about registration, Glenn?
I actually don't have it in front of me. Would you like to share?
Okay. Registration for the summit can be done online at www.blacksummit.org. And as Glenn said earlier, we will be in London, England. I believe it's July the 30th. Through August the 2nd, if you have friends, family, or people that you know in the Atlanta area, we will be having a summit share this Saturday coming, February the 28th, in Atlanta, Georgia. And that, again, you can email us at talkshow@blacksummit.org, and we can send you the specific information on the location of that event as well. And I just want to say kudos to Glenn and to all of the men on the call this evening. It's been phenomenal just listening to you all and getting a sense of the history and the energy around the creation of the first summit. And Glenn and Oren and a group of facilitators are in Orlando this weekend retreating, handling the business of the summit. So I know that was probably a phenomenal weekend as well. And I just missed all of you guys. So I just wanted to say that as well.
Thank you, Clara.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. And the event
goodbye, Dr. Brunk.
Okay, thanks. Nice talking to you guys again.
Yeah,
same
here.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And we'll stay in touch.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
With
so
that dollar
I
crown, I look forward to talking to you.
Yeah.
This is Martin.
Okay, Martin.
It's been a long time.
I know.
Yeah. And Dr. Brown, I do want to say as well, the talk show is a talk show network, and we air every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh.
And also the second and fourth Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m.
What are your call letters?
It's the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, which is what we're on now.
International
and,
Black Summit Talk Show Network?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And
on Tuesday night, I'm hosting the Wealth Club, which is a conversation for financial intelligence and increasing your net worth. So I'll have topics, various topics on investing, stocks and real estate. And then, of course, on the on Sunday nights, the first Sunday we have On Track, which is Henrietta out of Chicago, is Henrietta Bird, is hosting that show, and that's about keeping people on track with their vision and what they're doing. The second show is called
Let's Celebrate. Yes.
Yeah. And Chakaysha Flowers is hosting that one, and what she does with that show is look to celebrate the accomplishments of youth and or individuals in the summit.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the third Sunday, we have Vision Works, hosted by Clara, and we explore, you know, what people are up to, what they're doing, what they're creating. And then, of course, the fourth Sunday is Man of the Month, and we look to feature different men around the summit. And I've had the pleasure of having you all on tonight, which was just great. I loved it.
Yeah.
And when there's a fifth Sunday, we have a gentleman by the name of John Thomas, and he kind of picks the topics, but that's on the fifth Sunday, if there is a fifth Sunday
in the month.
And the Wealth Club is a biweekly show, so it's on the second and the fourth Tuesday, and that's from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
So.
And we have a special treat next month on Let's Celebrate. Shakesh is going to be broadcasting from Belize. So that's going to be, a very, very special show next month.
What are you,
can
AM?
Can I throw something here for a second?
Are you AM or FM?
We're actually on the Internet.
Oh, this is on the Internet.
Yes,
okay.
On the Internet. So you can actually, if you log on to blacksummit.org/talkshow. That would bring /talkshow. That would bring you to the menu of the episodes that have passed. That, oh, by the way, you can download to iTunes or to podcasts, or you can just listen to it at that point in time.
Yes.
And it will also give you a venue of the up-and-coming episodes. And
okay.
Give you a little snippets of what the future shows are going to be featuring.
Okay.
So that's a way to just get the information.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks for that information. And now I certainly will be in touch.
Okay.
Okay, Glenn, before you go, I want to throw out one thing.
Sure.
It's been 20 years, right, in many cities.
Yes.
What do you think would become available to the community if in the 20th anniversary of the 20th celebration of the Black Summit is that simultaneous summits are held in every city that's already been held?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea.
Translated from whatever
language
there is.
Yeah, we need to just put that into effect. Yes, it's a good idea. We should do it.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
now,
so,
I,
So Martin, I know you have some ideas around that. So I'm looking to be in touch with you to have you be part of the planning and the process and to sharing of your vision around that, because clearly that would be a monumental event to impact what we're up to.
The impact would be monumental.
Yes.
The event.
That
would be
to
consistent.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I actually say consistently simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. I like your thinking.
Right, and keep me apprised of this event, and if there's any way I can contribute to it.
Now, Roy, you know that you can contribute, and people will call on you to contribute. So there's no if to it.
Okay. All right. I'm enrolled in that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Anything else for anybody?
No, you guys have been absolutely fantastic, and that's just who you are.
Okay, thanks. And
Thank you, Martin.
So, good night.
Okay, good night, Mr. Brown.
Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
Martin,
bye.
You too. And give a hug and a kiss for your wife for me, please.
Certainly will.
Okay, very good.
Good night, all.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Okay. With that, thank you. Thank you all. Peace and blessings. Good night. Thank you, Clara.
Thank you, Glenn. Great show.
Thank you. Couldn't have done it without you. Ciao.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.